republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so since this is the beginning of our new term, I get to be the chair for about 5 minutes. So this is first public comment period of the day, of the evening. If there's something you want to comment on the agenda but you can't stay and you want to comment now, that's your opportunity. All right, first we will have the approval of the minutes for October 14th.
I make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Oh yeah, all in favor?
Aye.
This is why I don't run it.
Okay. Approval of the agenda for February 10th. I'm going to suggest we move items 1 and 2 to the, just 1 to the beginning of the agenda so that we can have a new term next year. Okay, so I need a motion.
I make a motion to approve.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
So number 1 will be to elect a new chair and vice chair. So, somebody make a motion for what you guys decided.
I make a motion to nominate Rick Schmaltz for chair.
And yourself for vice chair?
Okay, I'll move for Tanya to be vice chair.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, so now Tanya, take over with number 1.
Item 1, item 5, informational items. Can we get a report from Metro, please?
Amen. How's everybody doing? Just want to take a second to introduce myself. Sergeant Pickerel, I'm a model for Metro. I'm taking over command of Southwest Regiment. I replaced Sergeant Dean, who did an awesome job in the very supportive unit with the right culture, the right atmosphere. I went to Sandy Valley meeting yesterday, but I'm here to say what all of the meetings. One of the questions that I get asked most being up here is how am I going to run the station? I can tell you I'm going to run the station. My guys are already aware of this. We're going to have a measured, balanced response to whatever this meeting is. Policing out here is different than policing in the city. I'm well aware of it. So again, we're just going to have a measured, balanced response. We're going to protect the interests of the community as well as protecting the interests of the farmers. Just one note, one of the things that we did recently, just got up and running, was we're now implementing a communication platform. And what I mean by that is a Facebook page. I am not a Facebook guy.
He is now.
So the gentleman isn't here, but his name's Jason. He comes from the county, and he took the time to come up to our station, sit down with me, create a page for the Southwest resident section, and implemented all the security needs that I need. The one good thing about that, and I wanted to mention like I did with Sandy Valley, is I am the face of that page. So, when there's a decision, like with Sand Valley, and there's a decision to close the pass, that decision comes from me. The reason why I wanted to do that was so people that live in these communities are not in that sense of it's coming from like a big wig that's 2 hours away at headquarters at the comm center an hour and a half away. It's physically coming from the sergeant that is in command of this. So I just want to let that be known. I'm a personal guy, so please help us, or please say hi if you see this around. One note, because we addressed it, on my way over here, we pulled over a vehicle going through G at 160 miles an hour.
Jeez. Oh, what? How did you pull a guy over there at 160?
It's tricky.
He let you.
Yeah, it's pretty tricky at that point. The reason I'm bringing that up is one of the changes of direction that I made, because
because this is absurd, all the streets of California is insane. One of the directions that I put in place for the officer was, and I even called this officer when I heard what he had, I called him directly, and my first words were to him was, put your ticket booker away. He's not getting a ticket, he's going to jail. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So was right, send him out. Mm-hmm. Because the way I look at it is speeds excess of north of 100, that's not traffic, that's criminal. Yeah. That's how I look at it. Absolutely. And department, state, county, we're all in this zero fatalities campaign. So I felt right in what I was doing. So that was one of the changes that I made. It was a subtle change. It still is a misdemeanor. That being said, that's why we need sergeant approval. That's why if it wasn't done in the past, they would just get the ticket. I immediately changed that. I basically broadened the scope and said, you have my approval, you can write on the paperwork for 557, but when they're in excess of 100, they're going to jail, they're not getting a ticket. Yes, sir.
Does that go for motorcycles too?
It goes for anybody.
Over 100.
Yeah. Now, see, here's the thing. Our pursuit policy is tricky to the public, not so much us. Because they're required to chase the guy. It doesn't fit the pursuit. We still pursue vehicles, not for traffic. We don't even engage with motorcycles, I'll be honest. Because the risk of the motorcycle driver getting killed is well over 50%. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the numbers are. I'm not going to pretend to know what the numbers are. I just know it's that 60-40, 70-30 type. We don't engage with them. There are reasons to engage. Speed is not one of them. Why is this important? What does it matter to you when I'm talking about Gina? I'll tell you why. So I thought to myself, if guys are doing 160 through jam, what are they doing on 160? The actual robbery. What are they doing on 159? So I sat down with the guys who went up there. They explained to me that although people aren't going 160 through this path through Mountain Springs, there are still excessive speeds well over the 45 mile an hour. So now I have a balanced approach. This is what I was talking about. My response will always be balanced and measured. So when do I make that call, you know, to people, you're not going to get a ticket? Because it only takes one time, right? I don't have that answer yet. I don't know what would be considered reckless endangerment at that point. I don't know if you guys noticed or not. I was getting to know the area, which is beautiful up here. I'm telling you, if I could retire, I'd be buying a house up here. But across the way, there's like a third driveway with a fence over there to the right. So it's like hiding out there. This man.
That's mine.
Oh, is it? I'm the cop that was sitting in your driveway.
You're welcome anytime. I'll give you the clicker so you can come get refreshments.
So you had that tree line right there. Mm-hmm. And I was like kind of being sneaky.
I loved it. So
I thought to myself, I'm just going to try to get the basis of what is going on. You know, there's always going to be those flyers. When you're in a 45, you know, you're seeing a 65 verbally in those numbers. I felt 160, thank God. A lot of it's due because of the uptick going up the hill, cross speed, and then they've got gain speed as they press over. Will I direct my guys to make arrests based off of that information? Probably not. But I can tell you, it's at the forefront. I have a checklist of things I want to accomplish. And I do it in spurts, like first 3 months, first 6 months, first year. Addressing speed and where the hotspots are is one. Because it creates a lot of people, they care about that. I care about that. Trust me, coming from that. When I'm driving in town, I live in Hampton. Driving back in town, I was the one to drive the freeway. Because that 160, 140, I mean, it's insane. Fortunately, I have the ability to change that, and that's exactly what we're doing. Like I said, the dude who clocked at 160 coming over here, you know, my first phone call was to tell the officer to put the ticket book away. It's going to jail. So that's the mindset. So it doesn't go unnoticed. Can we do it every day? Absolutely not. Can we do it or maintain it regular more than what it is? Absolutely. So that's kind of where I'm at. But yeah, as far as the Facebook page, I'm not an expert, but it's up and running. When you see someone type a post, it is me directly that is typing that post. It is not a sergeant or lieutenant at headquarters 2 hours away.
What's the page name?
It is LVMPD Southwest.
Spelled out or SW?
I spelled out. Resident section.
It's hard to find. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
He's a little wordy. I kept trying to shorten it. But
I know I'm late. I'm sorry, everyone, but did you guys already talk about the 6 water cops from Henderson running radar and getting 120 tickets up here?
Henderson?
Okay. Can I have a photo of it? Tell you about it?
They were on the show.
I'll explain. If no one knows about this, there's 2 Henderson officers who live in Corunna. They park their bikes at the NDOT station. More cops, once, I know a lot, more cops, once you're on your bike, you're on duty. So they were having speeders every now and then, right? So the one officer cleared with the sergeant, they got the whole squad up here between Thanksgiving and Christmas time. I was home, I was sitting around here watching this, just having a blast.
Mm-hmm.
They had 6 Henderson cops up here running radar from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. They handed out 120 tickets. Mm-hmm. And they said they needed help. They got everyone that they cited was 15 or over in the speed limit. And so they wanted help from NHP and Metro. I actually sent NHP an email today about this because nobody's been back since the Henderson guys have done what they've done. And I live behind here, and I come out and I cross with a horse trailer. And the curve is kind of difficult to handle the curve. So far, so good. But what I'm saying is that I think they did a task force up here. Are you aware if they ever did any combination of use different jurisdictions to come up and do enforcement?
What I can do is I can answer those questions for you. Okay. As far as specific events, no, I can't. Only because we're a large department, and Henderson's a small department, but they're still kind of big. When our Tom units or our traffic officers, the guys you see on motorcycles, when they do a dragnet or speed trap or whatever, that's in-house. Just like if I was to run search and rescue a POTUS in 4 hours, specifically looking for one thing, they wouldn't know that's what I was doing.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. I can't speak for Henderson. If people that were pulled over said, can you do this?
Yes.
Henderson cop. I can tell you they can. They're Cloud State Post.
Well, people ask me. Yeah. They ask me because I used to be a volunteer with the police department in Oklahoma City. I said, everybody in Nevada is Nevada State Post cop, so anybody can write you a ticket.
100%. They're allowed to do it. The dynamics of Henderson or Northtown or Laughlin or a Boulder City, they're their own jurisdiction, but they are within our jurisdiction, meaning they're in Clark County. I'm not going to bore you with history, but in 1973, Las Vegas Police Department and Clark County Sheriff's Department merged and became Metro. That's why we patrol all of Clark County. So those, the Henderson can do that because they're post-certified in Nevada State, not in Clark County. There's other things I can bore you with, say you have a major event here in Mountain Springs, and for some reason, you know, Henderson guys are all trying to get to work, and they stop to help. Then we fall into what's called the Unified Command, meaning he's Henderson PO. I'll rank him on paper. He will fall under my command, even though he does not work for Metro. So there's a lot that goes into it. It's a good system. But if people were asking, can they do this? Yes.
Yeah, they were sending messages, and I go, yeah, they can, yeah, they can.
They can.
Because people think I'm a cop.
Yeah.
So I get questions all the time on stuff on Facebook. Can we do this? Can we do this? Because I'm the guy that rides on a horse with the flag and stuff, and so people in Toronto know who I am, and I'm big on the horse community.
Yeah, absolutely. And this Southwest Resident Section is unique. I mean, we take care of the real fast, carbon scanning. We literally go right up to Brump in that county. You know, if something was kicked off and a Metro officer had to deal with something and prompt, can he do it? Absolutely. Is there that political grenade that we kind of have to tap dance around? Absolutely. Part of our area that we patrol is actually in San Bernardino County.
Sandy Valley.
Sandy Valley, Florida, it's in California. So there's MOUs, there's agreements between the sheriffs. There's reasons why to go in and why not to go in. Something kicks off, like when the NHP got into the shooting on that homicide suspect, it was 6 miles into California. You know, that's a hot potato to handle, just alone, as an event alone. Now to be in another state, phone calls are dangerous. So, yes, they can do it. If you're looking for that kind of response, I can direct you to the Traffic Bureau, and you can request it, and they have what's called PSU teams, problem solving units, that specifically deal with things like that. They're not tasked with accidents or fails or anything. They strictly deal with community concerns.
The PIO for NHP is a friend of mine, mm-hmm. So I sent him that email, and then he forwarded it to PSU about what was going on. I was just thinking about when we have a DUI checkpoint, when we have a multi task force, something like that.
Yeah.
And it hasn't happened yet, but just wishful thinking.
It's easier to get done than you think. The challenge, and I can't speak for the traffic units, but the challenge is availability. To run something like that, you need several officers. They could have a list of things, like just like I do, prioritize things get done. They could have 4 requests to run that kind of system or run that platform across the valley. You know, they also take other things into consideration. If we have an intersection that has a lot of fatals, a lot of accidents, they know this, so they're gonna adjust accordingly, and they're gonna address that. Unfortunately, you know, this isn't, you know, COBOL and Domingo.
Yeah.
So the answer is yes, we can do it. What the availability or timeline is, you have to get that straight for traffic.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I gave you the Facebook thing. I only have 2 posts.
The second one hasn't been shared yet.
They're getting ready to make me the mayor of the internet. I can see it coming. Right? But anyways, what it is a platform for communication, and I use it to give out information from prevention to a certain event that's kicking off. It allows me to control the narrative. Now, what do I mean by controlling the narrative? I'm not talking about First Amendment speech and who gets posted and who doesn't. No one gets posted on the page. It's common. What I mean by control the narrative is get out accurate and true information. So that way, you guys have the information and you can go about your daily business and work around it. You know, if we have a fatal on, you know, 160, I can get that out. You know, if I have to close Sandy Valley Road through Columbia Pass, mm-hmm. I will. One of the questions that I got is, you know, how do I determine when to close the pass now? You guys are different because the 160 is actually NHP. We'll do that. But with the Sandy Valley Road, I'm not an expert in this stuff. I don't claim to know all the answers, but I know most. I know common sense outweighs everything, right? So it's very simple question. I just thought to myself, I'm just gonna ask myself one question. Is there potential for head-on collision on this road? If the answer is yes, I'll shut it down. And I know no one wants to see you get shut down on any path. But fortunately, decisions are tough. You know, opinions are free, right? Everybody has an opinion. Decisions have consequences, and I'm willing to follow the sword and say this is happening.
Well, you don't have any equipment in Sandy Valley Road. You have no plows, you have no sanding, no slides.
We do now.
You do now?
We do now. So when I originally closed the pass for about two to four hours, because there was such a buildup of traffic accidents.
Mm.
Well, I'm not the smartest tool in the shed, but I know that if I don't stop the flow of traffic, it's just gonna get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I used it, you know, you're in a boat, it has a leak, and I'm scooping on water for an hour instead of fixing the hole. So I closed the pass so we could clean up the road. And then I opened it up to 4-wheel drive and tire chains. But I also incorporated a sand truck to come up when we were up there. We monitored for the whole night and had to come back out at 3 in the morning. Now, is that every time? I don't know. We'll see. But the system is in place, that platform is in place. And I know Megan Leslie says, me personally, you'll learn about me, is I'm no red tape kind of guy. I don't don't like it, I don't address it. If I go A to C, I just skip past B. I don't like the red tape. I'm all about getting things done for the community and for the department. And like you brought up with the sand trucks, you know, my one question was why? Why couldn't this happen? Everybody had an answer why it couldn't happen. And that one was good. So we ended up getting the trucks.
These people were calling me and asking me if they could come this way to go through the San Diego Charter. I said yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were fine.
But you bring up a point, and that's part of the reason we talked about starting this, is because Hick and I were communicating as the snowstorm was going on and the ice storm was going on. So I'm sharing information with the community, and then every Yahoo thinks they know better, and they're sharing misinformation after I just got off the phone with him sharing the actual information. Mm-hmm. So that's why we, part of the reason that this started. Also, the Mountain Springs thing, people are so dumb and they don't get that Mountain Pass is different than Mountain Springs.
Right.
And that was a big problem. Because I said, well, I'm going to go home through Mountain Springs. I had two different people tell me it's closed. I said, no, it's not closed. Mountain Pass was closed. So that's a big reason why Pick's doing this is be, and learning to be Mr. Mayor of the Internet, is to share accurate information so that those Yahoos that think they're experts can actually, he can actually give the right information.
So again, when I say controlled internet, I'm not talking about squashing someone's personal. There's a lot of security platforms in this, where it doesn't allow you to interact with the page, but you can share or comment, whatever you like. When I say control the narrative, I'm talking about getting accurate, thoughtful, true information out to the public. That way, you guys have it, can't hear all the craziness. That's my job, and I'll follow the story for it. Yes, sir.
Most people don't know that there's two state route 160s. There's Clark County and Nye. They also don't know that the mile markers duplicate.
Yeah.
Okay, and they don't know this. And they put the wrong information. And State Route 160, Clark County goes to mile marker 43. That's what Clark County. And it starts over to Nye County. I'm just that guy. Okay.
No. Oh, yeah.
Well, I worked for the power company for 37 years, and I drive all over the place, so I know all the state routes 157, 56, 58, Charleston area. So.
Yes, sir.
So I know stuff. And so, you know, they had incidents where Mark had responded to a call and it was a wrong, yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, they said, you know, a mile marker that are led to believe was on the Clark County part of 160, and was actually on the other side of the world.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I'd be lying to say I probably wouldn't have known that if I had come up here either. The good thing is, the guys that work for me are extremely talented, extremely knowledgeable. Half of them live in Sandy Valley. Year round, that's where they live. They're awesome with search and rescue, they're awesome with interdiction. And I constantly am asking them, because I'm not afraid to say, I don't know. That's just something, I'm not going to find out the right answer if I sit there and note this thing and pretend like I know something when I don't. I'm asking those questions all the time. Hey, where are we at with this? Where are we at with this? You know, cause and effect. And they're constantly telling me stuff. They'll tell me stuff and they know, I probably don't know what it is we're about to do. And I love them. You know, a lot of sergeants are like, I know everything, sergeant. I've been sergeant for a long time. I still don't know everything. So I'm not afraid to admit it. But I'll find out. Like I said, I don't have all the answers, but I have most of them. That's for sure.
One question.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned that Tyler Joel has jurisdiction over 160 closing it down.
Correct.
And that's been a problem for me in the past because there have been a few occasions when heavy snow resulted in about a dozen and a half cars and accidents on the road down here, another dozen over here. And I called in dispatch and asked them to shut down the road. They said, we can't do that. The highway patrol can do that, and they won't do that until they get there, which can be 2 hours.
Right.
So we have an accumulation of accidents for 2 hours until the highway patrol finally gets up there. Is there any way to bypass that ridiculousness?
Yes and no. And this is where that kind of mentality comes in. They have the power of the 160 to stay around. Can I hedge my bet?
for public safety and say, oh, let's save lives in Clark County. Absolutely. And I'm not afraid to do it. We have a very strong working relationship with NHP. Do I think if I came up here and said, shut it down, will they spank me for it? But if there's a decision that has to be made, and it clearly is not getting done in a timely manner, I'd rather fall on the side of the fence that says, shut it down, let's clean this up, see what we have in front of us, and then start making decisions from there. So the worst thing is trying to make decisions in the middle of an event. It's tough. It's hard. You know, you deal with a crazy guy with a gun, it's hard enough doing it. But then when he goes mobile, it's twice as hard. This is one of those scenarios. It's going to take NHP 2 hours to get up there. I'll go out and come up here and say, no, shut it down. And I'll use my resources. The thing is, they have great resources and we have great resources. Our resources are a lot closer than theirs. Again, it's just a decision making. And will it happen every time? No. But common sense overrules everything. These cars are picking up speed on that downside.
Yeah.
It scares me. We'll work together. I'll work with NHP. I'll even get with the sergeant. They have a sergeant that's in command of the station on Gene. I'll go obviously down with him and say, hey, what do you think about this? And if I had a guess, he'd probably say, hey, we'll all four. Once I make the decision, I'm getting potential resources, but I can't use theirs. So we're going to have to put that down. I'm okay with it.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
Thank you.
Well, the prop guys go all the way to late night. It's guys from prop, that's their boundary line, but late night. So they have to go all the way from prop over the hill to there.
Who's that?
Howard Pro.
Howard Pro?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not 100% sure of the dynamics of their station, but I will find out. I will find out.
It's a long way.
And we have a great relationship. So like I said, if one of my vaccinated Cali Road, I have no problem telling my guys, get up there, take me a picture, and I'll show what I'm going to do. I guess smart guys were awesome guys.
So I rate my trail here by mile marker 16 and mile marker 17.
Yes, 16.
So, 16. 15. Yep, so what he's saying is that particular officers control that section there, and then for the rest of it's Las Vegas. Am I right with that, Sheriff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those troopers that control that, they come out of Corona?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, everybody's got a boss, so someone's got a boss somewhere. So I'll definitely reach out to the boss that I deal with, and then we can coordinate. If it's a different boss here or a different sergeant that they answer to, I'll find that out. And if the meeting doesn't fit over there, I'll have the meeting in that
county. Because they need to close it by 11:00, the gas station is that basically. And so they're going to is miles away as far as they're going to go. Right. I know they can go further, but I'm just going to let all the shuts in.
I can't dictate NHP. What I can dictate is my response. And my response is going to be common, as far as common sense. I definitely will pick up the system, see what works. Now, the decision I made the first time might not work the best, but the decision I made the second time, because I learned from the first time, will work. I can see it, and I need to make a decision. And I have a great relationship with NHP, so I don't see it being wrong. If they tell me absolutely not, we'll have to work with them a little bit and see what's up. But I don't see them saying that.
Cool.
Yes, sir.
I'm curious, what kind of car was that was doing on the system?
It was a Mercedes-Benz AMG.
A Mercedes?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. AMG is important thing. AMG is like the souped up one.
Yeah. So, obviously you see what we drive extremely heavy trucks, four-wheel drive trucks. So we got them. It wasn't difficult. We're just going to chase them down. Here's the thing. For us to engage like that, to try to catch up to them, we either have to match his speed or go faster. That's nothing good comes out. And the responsibility is solely falls on the responsibility of the officer. So if he's reaching those, they wouldn't do it. I know how they stopped them, can't close here, secret stuff. But at the end of the day, we caught. But like I said, now that I'm here, that was one of the first things that changed. I literally called that officer up and said, put your ticket book away. Because it's not traffic, that's critical. So his 2018 Mercedes is now in the right
now. Oh, still?
And I'm going to implement that here as well. Again, the speeds are a little different. I've got to have a balanced approach to, you know, okay, if the speed limit is 45 and they're doing 70, you know, where are we at? Because when I sat in your yard, you know, it was common for 60, 65 to be coming over that
curve. So I live on the south side of the street. Are we breaking the law if we take a left at the first set of, lights? Because you can go left or right, and it's double, it's a solid line, so you're really, not supposed to cross a solid line.
I have to take a look at it. I don't want to give you the false answer. When it comes to stuff like that, safety first. So if it's safer to cross the yellow line or go in that direction, I don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
But I'd have to take a look at it.
Yeah, well, to the right, I don't know. It's Paul Warner on one side and something else on the other side. Yeah, so I don't know. It's just the first set of streetlights. If you go right, you can go to the mailbox. If I go left, I'm going to my house. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I have to go all the way down the hill, cross by the fire station, and go.
Oh, I see where you're talking.
Yeah.
I see where you're talking. So if you were to, if you're coming out of your house, instead of making a left to the mailbox to come here, pop out?
No, I'd be making a right to the mailbox and then a left across the street to Paul Warner. So, I've always gone left, I never check my mail. So, I'm crossing a solid yellow line.
It's a yellow little island.
Yeah, it is.
A yellow island.
Mm-hmm. It's a
median. You're not supposed to, you're supposed to come down here and make a left. That's all. Mm-hmm. From what the engineer has done there, what she's talking, is anybody going to get a thorn in her ass if she's going across that?
Yeah, I don't want to get a ticket.
I will tell you this. Always follow the law, but I'll tell you this. With everything I have my guys doing, the chance of you getting a ticket for that is probably zero.
Bigger fish.
And it's not an issue of bigger fish, it's an issue of, is it a failure by the Department of Motor Vehicles of Calgary or whoever that installs that line, that paint scheme? I don't know. Is it the right way to go? I don't know.
It's the fault of the post office for putting the things across. If you get a ticket, I want to know. Because that'll be one more thing of ammo that we can use the post office for what they get.
Exactly. They were supposed to install mailboxes on this side of the street, mailboxes on that side of the street, so this wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. They didn't.
Well, I'll tell you this. There can be a platform put in place or a system put in place that you don't realize what's wrong with it until after it's in place. This might be one of those.
Oh, no, they knew. Yeah. They know. And I've been telling them for years.
And they built it contrary to the plan.
But I'll jump in here. I am working on this, and we actually have our federal officials on board to help us with it. So we're making progress.
Cool. You guys have a beautiful community. I'll be honest with you, my background is in arts and bikes. That's where I come from. And to be even in patrol of the city, you don't have the appreciation or you don't have the luxury of seeing places like this because you're tied to town all the time. I honestly didn't even know this community existed until I started doing my research. And then I came up here and I was like, man, my investment should have went a different way. If I was up here tomorrow.
It's a well-kept secret.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm like, this is beautiful. I almost lost track of what I was doing. I was just trying to watch the light of the beauty. But it's beautiful, it has to be maintained. It has to be maintained from everything from law enforcement to the government side to everything. So you guys are very, very lucky. I'm jealous to be living up here like you guys do. It's very impressive. So, we'll help you guys out.
All right, so moving on to item number two. If we could get an update from Megan, please.
Yeah. So while we were not able to have meetings, another review came through for the bar. I did reach out to all the members separately to see if you'd gotten any complaints.
You all reported back to me that you had not received any complaints. I had not received any complaints. So the commissioner felt comfortable removing the time limit on that so there won't be further reviews. But that doesn't mean that they get to just suddenly now go crazy and be a nuisance. So, one sec. So, if there does come a problem, you need to report it. You need to let me know. You need code enforcement. You should probably do that too, but reach out to me because by the time code enforcement gets out here, the new music's not going to go in anymore. So, please reach out to me so we can document those because it is a use permit, which means that it could be revoked if they start causing problems. So, yes.
They did promise us that they would put a sound reflective wall behind the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And they never did that.
Okay.
They never did that. And they only had amplified music a couple of times before COVID hit.
I know.
And so that's why I didn't file the registry to complain.
Okay.
But
that is something that definitely, that's a not an easy fix, but that's a concrete thing that I can say, hey, they haven't done this. So that's...
And I definitely heard more noise in my backyard.
Okay.
It did interfere with my enjoyment in my backyard. Because I like to go out there and lay down in the hammock and listen to the wind and the birds.
Okay.
But I was listening to rock music instead.
All right.
Okay.
Tell me when these things happen.
Okay.
Because if I don't know... To me, that means nobody's having a problem with it. So please let me know. Give me a date and time. You don't tell me when it's happening, but give me a date and time what happened. And first, we will work with them to see if they will fix it themselves. That's always going to be the quickest, easiest way.
If they committed to a sound wall, they said
absolutely.
It's like all the sound down there.
Absolutely. So I will follow
and
up on
never
that.
Never did that.
Okay. So yeah.
It's
so
a thin fabric wall, which doesn't do this.
No, it's supposed to be like a concrete wall.
Yeah.
That's my understanding.
Solid wall.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Mark.
Yes.
If you ever have a problem with them, and this guy is really easy to work with down there.
Chase?
All you got to do is go down and tell him. In fact, there was some music going on that was on the loud side, and he told that band either to tone it down, and they said, well, hey, this was rock, and we got it. And he said, then you got to pack it and leave. And they turned it down. So he's going to do anything and everything to keep complaints. But that's legitimate. If they said they were going to do that, then they need to do it.
And you could call or text. You don't even have to go down there.
Okay.
He's trying pretty hard.
They need to follow through on the assurances they gave us. And if they don't, then we need to deal with it.
Yeah, so I'll check that out and I'll verify in the plan. My understanding is that it was an actual constructed wall.
Yeah.
So
they had a rockery wall. Was that deconstructed?
No, it was supposed to be something additional
to allow
the outside stage.
Yeah, the rockery wall is only 3 or 4 feet high.
Oh, is
that?
No,
it was
going to
be. It was going to be higher. So,
higher
stage. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll follow up on that and see. Please let me know because anytime there's a use permit, just for your knowledge, it's not a once you get it, you're free to do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. It is a permissible use only if they follow the conditions and the law. So, okay, possible cleanup. When I was looking back at the notes, we talked about doing cleanup in November, and that is my fault. I dropped the ball on that one. I apologize. Do you guys, I don't think we can do a gathering still, but is there a need for dumpsters?
Probably more coming into spring. Does
can
anybody want them now?
Spring?
Okay. Yeah, let's do it in the spring.
Okay, well,
if we put one dumpster on that side and one dumpster on this side so that we're...
I will ask the public. I'll ask.
You know what? Now with the little side roads, can they park them along those?
Ooh, that's a good idea. That would, and it'd be easily accessible for them, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Megan, we do have quite a bit of trash to pick up from all the people.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I wanted trash cans.
Yeah, but then nobody's going to dump those. So then
they're public service.
But we went through this. There was not a way to do it. You don't think I would have wanted to get trash cans?
No, I know that. But I mean, the whole pettiness is, let's go ahead and let the trash sit around because nobody's going to pay that bill.
Well, no, it wasn't about a bill. It was who would have the jurisdiction or the authority to pick it up because where it was going to go was on private property.
Republic's On private property, uh-huh. Along these service
where,
roads?
At the time, if, where we were talking about it at the time was private property.
Oh, because of right here. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Right, that was that.
And that is still a dumping ground right there.
I know, and and it's a problem everywhere. It in Mount Charleston gets it. They have big dumpsters full of stuff. I don't know what the answer is because people just aren't very smart sometimes.
No, they're nasty.
I told Mark on my way up here, I was listening to a podcast, and the woman on the podcast was talking about something that had happened, and she said, not everybody grows, common sense doesn't grow in everybody's garden. And I thought that was such a great way, that's going to be my new thing. So I don't get it. I have never thought, oh, let me open my door and throw trash out. I mean, it's just never occurred to me. So, I don't know. Yes?
The garbage cans, sadly, are not your answer. We put garbage cans on our property over there, hoping that they would throw the stuff in it. They sit on the ice wall, I built them, and they throw the junk in the wash.
It's just society
every
now.
I put a new can, new bags underneath, and I have a sign up, a little vegetable. The can's there. They sit next to the can and throw the stuff in the bag.
They drive out to San Diego and dump couches and refrigerators. Mm-hmm. Like, that takes more effort. I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, we aren't the people doing that. So I don't know how to get that message out.
Yeah.
So sometimes...
Put the cans out. I'm not saying not to do it, but don't think that's going to be surprising.
Right. So later in the spring, we'll talk about that. We do need one more CAC member. I think we had an idea before the meeting, so we'll see if that works out.
And we have a couple of people sitting here.
But they don't live here.
Oh,
right?
No.
You don't live here.
No.
Right. It has to be a resident. Because I had a fifth member.
Change that.
I had a fifth member. And at first she didn't want to do it. And then the more I talked about what it was, she said, oh, I want to do that. And in the conversation, we talked. And she said, oh, well, I don't live there. We do need one more member.
I know. Well, Denise is just not here enough anymore.
We do need one more member.
I'm never here.
So,
somebody lives right behind here. He said so.
Jeez.
I was so tempted to be like, oh, I didn't hear that, but... You know, I'd be the one to get in trouble, you guys. So if you know somebody that's interested, please have them send an application. Well, Paul, if you don't mind following up on the one we talked about, that'd be great.
To be on the board?
We have to have five members. It has to be three or five members.
Could it be like if Molly wanted to or her husband?
She doesn't live here.
Oh, they don't. Oh,
she's in town.
I didn't know
and
that.
And they do frown on that. If we absolutely couldn't find anybody else to fill the board, we could consider that. But it can lead to problems if you were voting on something controversial, that you two would be in cahoots, you
But
know?
If they're husband and wife, they're not going to agree anyway.
Well, I was going to point out...
That's a guarantee of a split
we
vote.
We see. But we had the opposite problem. We had two family members in Bunkerville years ago. It wasn't my board, and they hated each other so much that it caused problems with the vote. Not that they were not together, they were so opposed to each other. So.
Yeah.
It just does not work well to have family members on the board together. So anyway, please help me find a fifth person. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions for me. Yes?
I think at the last meeting I mentioned that DOT has misnamed the road down here. It should be named Sandy Valley Back Road instead of Sandy Valley Road.
Yes.
And that has caused confusion on some emergency calls. Because Sandy Valley Road is from I-15.
Yes.
To Sandy Valley, or from Good Springs to Sandy Valley, and from Sandy Valley to 160 is Sandy Valley Back Road.
I don't think
he has it labeled Sandy Valley Road.
Right. I don't think it's officially named anything because if you look on maps, it's not named anything. So we kind of need to establish the name.
On the map, the emergency dispatch looks at it is named Sandy Valley Back Road.
Oh, okay.
And that doesn't jive with the sign out here that's Sandy Valley Road. So when someone's reporting a vehicle fire or an accident on Sandy Valley Road, it should be responded to by Sandy Valley and or Good Springs. But if it's reported on Sandy Valley Back Road, it should be responded to by us.
Well, and to make it even worse, some maps call Sandy Valley Road Columbia Pass. So
Yeah, but we have recently gotten the right-of-way from BLM to be able to work on Sandy Valley Road, so I think maybe we can make it more official on our maps now that it's actually a road.
So maybe DOT can work in conjunction with Clark County Fire Emergency Dispatch and make sure that dispatch's maps match the signs that are on the roads.
Right, and there is a whole system to that. When I first started with the county, I did street naming and addressing for 4 years, and there is a whole connection there. So we need to get everybody on the same page. So I'll work with the person that does addressing now for the county and get that.
Now, somewhere I heard that once the highway construction project was completed, we would be able to get signs to post at the end of each road that lists the address range.
We need to get
that would be helpful from an emergency response standpoint.
Yeah, I was hoping Don would be here tonight, but I think people aren't back into the rhythm of having meetings. I'm even having to get back into the rhythm of it, so I will share these with him and hopefully he'll have answers from
Megan. We're also missing signs on Pinion. And there's not a dead end sign for Pinion like there is on Benedict.
Were they there before?
There wasn't one on Benedict either.
Okay. But
and here's what's happening. When people drive and they see dead end, they turn around and they're going down Pinion and it is a dead end and they're making these turns and going back
right.
out.
Mm-hmm. So
and then also Benedict has a sign that says, and it was never there before, that it's a residential area or something like that, and we don't have that on Pinion. I don't know what they have across the street. And so, also, we want to ask him where our radar illuminated signs are. Mm-hmm. And he said 90% he could get them on. We're missing those still. I was hoping he'd be here tonight.
I was hoping so too, but like I said, things are changing. But I will tell you, I had a meeting, Commissioner Jones and I had a meeting this week with Christina Swallow, who is the state director of NDOT, and she was so interested in these types of things and what's going wrong, and it was a really great open dialogue, and I brought up the mailbox thing, and she's really committed to helping, and she wants to make sure that it trickles down, that everyone wants to help.
And they got this beautiful sign that says Benedict, and it's really fancy. Mm-hmm. And then we got this little green sign that says Pinion.
Well, but what?
Yeah, and here's the thing. We've gone forever without these signs, so it's not something we got to do right
Pinion
away.
Pinion had a decent
sign. It would
be nice sign.
If they put them up eventually.
Well, you're not going to get a big fancy Pinion sign because that's a county road, not highway. So you're just going to get a green Pinion sign.
It's a what?
It's a county road, so you're just going to get the standard street sign.
Well, what is Benedict?
Benedict, that must be in the right-of-way, or in the highway right-of-way, and part of their design. I can't give you a big fancy Pinion sign. If you want to buy one and donate it, go for it.
I talked to Don about it months ago, and he said, not a problem, we'll get one up there.
I bet he
not
didn't
that,
understand.
It's not a big deal. It's just,
I'll bet he didn't understand where it was.
Pardon?
I bet he didn't understand where it was. He doesn't have jurisdiction to put a sign on.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
But
maybe,
he has.
Anyway,
I'd like to see at least a dead end sign on Ben, so people don't drive down thinking they're going on a trail or something.
Right.
Megan specifically, we're going to invite Don to next month's meeting to make sure. Right. She's going to invite him to next month's meeting to try and make sure he's here. So
that'll help a lot.
Right.
And those traffic signs, the speed signs, those are really important.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The average speed, now, and I'm coming up here all the time, where it says 45, they're probably closer to 60 or 65, and once in a while 55, but I don't almost never see anybody going 45.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's better than a 65 down on some. Because then they're going to be doing safety.
Yeah. So I know Don wants to make those things happen, and he got the horse crossing sign, the rider crossing sign, after the meeting.
We call that the Raphael sign.
I want to put my name on that sign. Yeah. Or my horse's name on that sign.
So if he hasn't made some of these happen, it's probably not because he doesn't want to. So I'm going to follow up with him.
Okay.
And if you think of other little things that may have been discussed but didn't get to this level, let me know. I can send them to him and say, hey, by next month, these are things that are going to
come up. It's what they did out there was, I think it was outstanding. Yeah. It's a big help. It's a lot safer.
There are numerous piles of slash on the north side of Highway 160, all along in the southern area here.
Okay.
Areas where there's tree stumps and branches all piled up. It's a fire hazard. It's ugly. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so they really should clean that up.
Yep.
So will he also be able to, or what about after there have been a couple of wrecks, there are now, there's landscaping in the road, and there are rocks in the road, and because they chose larger rocks, they're going to take out a windshield. And so who is going to clean that?
I don't know. I would think that the roads maintenance people would do that.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah,
so,
there's a yucca in the ditch coming up, up the hill, just east of, I think, the first light.
Okay.
Which is fine, just throw it away.
All the deer that have been hit up here, does anyone talk about that? Okay, I got this from some sources that every single deer that was hit up here, per NHP, off the record, the speed was at least 65 miles an hour when they hit those in the 45 zone.
Mm-hmm.
Just started saying that, that's all.
Okay.
Maybe just like...
I don't know.
We need more of what they did between Christmas or Thanksgiving and Christmas.
That was great.
Mm-hmm. I loved it. Yes?
Okay. Any signs that you can get that say this is not private property, but a dead end street, residential street, to keep people from going up there is better? Because I've been into the 33 Pinion three times, two medical aids and one fire. I drive the engine up there, I have to back it all the way down the street because I can't turn around.
Yep.
And if we ever get a fire up there, God help you, because you're not going to be able to get the equipment up there. Once they're there, they're dead. They run out of water and we're all out of trouble. So well, that particular road up there is so narrow that there's a barn, and one time I had back down, got a tractor parked in front of the barn. So if the tractor's not there, I can get around and turn around and come down. Otherwise, it's back all the way down.
Right. Mm-hmm. So some of these are MDOT requests, the dead end signs. That would probably be me, unless I'll have to see where the right of way goes.
Okay.
And I don't mean to be, I can only do it or they can only do it. There are rules about who puts the sign in, and we want it, the people that need to do it to do it. So I'll follow up. I'll those, like I said, if you think of any others, please. Email me, because it's better for him to know ahead of time what you're going to want so that he can make it happen or have the answer at the meet. When you bring it up here, he's, I don't know, it's hard. So more advanced notice is great. Anything else?
On that opinion, if you go to where it's a dead end and back up to where the barn is, you can back into that barn and turn around and come back out.
And I have, but one time I tried to do that, there was a tractor parked there.
That's almost never there. That's very rare.
Here's
the problem with Pinion. It's all private property. And like Benedict right now, what you see there, the county would do that if we asked them. And the neighbors that live there, including me, we would have to take out fences, trees,
right.
and we would have to go from what you see to 60 feet of gravel road. And nobody, I don't know if anybody is going to be in favor.
No. Yeah, be careful what you wish for on that. That's a very good point. Be careful what you wish for, because you're right. If too much is said about not turnaround space, they aren't standard width roads. So.
Yeah, but it's private property. It's never been dedicated.
I think it's a mod project there. I think there's some that is and some that isn't.
The situation you ran into with the backhoe, that backhoe was broken and it was pulled out of the barn to be repaired. And it sat there for a couple of months waiting on the parts and stuff to repair it. But now I believe it's back in the barn and out of the way. So, when it's out there, the turnaround is gone.
But there are people who don't live there, just drive around and take a look. Like Sarge said, it's a beautiful place to look at. You know, you don't know it's here. And you drive around, so the more people that are up there, the more chances we're going to have of them blocking roads, stuff like this.
Yeah, right. Dead end. Hit that sign.
I'm on it.
Just for the record, it's probably me that was getting in the way of everybody.
because I was like gazing. So there's probably me blocking the street. I'll leave that call. You won't be there anymore.
Okay. Anything else from
yes. Yes. Can we add to NDOT's request that when the snow is coming or when we have snowfall, can they also automatically plow the service roads, the side roads? They did upon request. I called them and then they came and cleared them out, but they didn't until I called.
Okay.
They only had one plow this last past season. The other plow was in the shop. It's going to cost $25,000 to get fixed. So they're thinking about not fixing it and put that money toward another plow.
Right.
We usually have two plows in there.
Nanette did, and she had it done very quickly, but it was, they're like, oh gosh, we forgot about that.
And it's, I think this is the first winter with those service roads being all done. So it's like getting into the, like all of us getting into the swing of things, you know, it's a year since it snowed, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Anything else?
Okay. Nanette, I mean, Megan.
I said Nanette.
Don came up here one time when I called him, and we didn't have a meeting, and I forgot to call him, but I had to tell him not to come up here. So him not coming up, he may have thought it was closed again.
It could be.
Because he made the trip up before, but have you seen, when you're driving up here, mm-hmm. have you looked over to the right?
Well, I do look around when I'm driving, but okay. Am I supposed to see something specific?
Okay, well, okay, they took out my neighbors who own both of these properties here. They took out all the trees for the bark beetles, right?
So well, now, there were no bark beetles. I called and confirmed.
Oh, you did?
I talked to her.
I knew
there
that.
Were not, there were not bark beetles. And
okay.
Don't say that. I don't want anybody to think there's bark beetles.
Oh, I knew
the
there were.
And they're like, what? No, there were no beetles.
Okay. Well, okay.
Because
so
they were too defensive
see,
about it, so I knew it wasn't true.
So now you can see that our cul-de-sac here has the biggest vehicles on the mountain, bigger than anything that NDOT has. You know where I'm going with this. They have not one, but two semis there on that property that come out. Remember, I'm just saying, they didn't put the left turn thing in, and now you have the biggest vehicles on the mountain that don't have that left turn thing in. I'm just letting you know, it's...
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Not just me and my horse trailer anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
They told me what they want you to do is go across to the service road, and then...
That will never happen with an 18-wheeler. Because their trailer would get from
okay.
behind.
Yep. Here's a couple things. You aren't allowed to have 18-wheeler trucks. So they can't complain that they can't pull out because it's not legal to have an 18-wheeler at your house.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I mean, so another, be careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
They start complaining about that, then they're going to get decided not to be able to keep their 18-wheeler there. The other thing is, and I don't know how to say this without sounding really bitchy, the whole highway had to be planned for the safety of everyone. I'm pretty sure the reason that was changed here was so the emergency services could get back and forth across there without a barrier. So yes.
It wouldn't have changed.
And that's because when I asked Doug what a high T intersection is that thing that looks like a curve, a raised curve? Or the paint. So that thing's a raised curb. I said, well, we can't be driving our fire trucks across the raised curb, so I guess we don't want a high T intersection. If he had given me the correct information and told me, no, that yellow, that curb is just painted on the ground, you can drive right over it, then I would have said, oh, well, then let's keep it because that would give us a left turn lane.
Well, I'll tell you my understanding through all of this, but it was going to be a curb. So I don't know.
No, we fought that long ago. I remember that situation, mm-hmm. and they then said that these openings would not be curved with that high T. I remember that long ago.
I don't remember that, but
doesn't
even happen. So I don't know. It's.
I think that like the mailboxes, they just did
well, the
what
mailboxes,
they wanted.
I can't remember what NDOT told me, but something about that the federal government, USPS. Is the only government agency that they can't control or something like that.
Well, no,
so.
But it was the same with the lighting. They said low lighting, they did what they wanted. They said left
yeah,
turn lane out of here,
sucks.
They did what they wanted.
It's
that's all I'm
a,
saying.
It's dark sky lighting, and we have LED lights when we have beautiful night skies.
And the answers are...
Yeah, we're turned into, you know, Las Vegas Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. And the answers they give are just to shut you up.
Okay, well, I'm not indoor.
No, I know. It's not on you.
And they did do a lot of stuff that you asked for. Maybe not everything, but they did do a lot of things that were requested.
So. Yes, including bringing up landscaping that's not indigenous to the area.
And will not survive.
And good.
Exactly. And spend thousands of dollars doing it.
All right, Megan, anything else for me?
Nope.
Megan, is there any chance of getting one 45-mile-an-hour sign? I know they don't care, but the people driving, it's 45 all the way to Potosi.
Yes.
And there's, you know where I want that sign up to, Rick? You know, it's like, because they think once the last sign, last 45 sign is, and then the speed just goes increasing.
Like at the end of the service road there?
How do you know it's 45 all the way to Potosi? Because I don't think it is.
Yes, it doesn't change to 65 until after Potosi.
Correct.
That's all. All of our sign is after Potosi.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, but that doesn't mean, and I understand what you're saying, but that doesn't mean that that's where it's supposed to be. It could be a signage issue. Because it used to, the speed used to increase closer up here before Potosi.
Well, okay, directly across the street where it says 65, then it says 45. All right, so when you're going westbound,
I understand, and I had this fight with them before, and that remember I got the sign moved like 5 feet?
Yep.
Because I went to bat with them, and that's what they gave us. So just because it's across the way, one's an uphill and one's a downhill, I got a whole education
but
on this. Doesn't mean that the speed is the same both ways, because one you're coming up into the slower speed, one you're starting to go into the higher speed.
But there's
Let's ask Sergeant.
It's really at the same spot on both sides of the road, I believe.
Sergeant,
today.
What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go 45 until I go past Potosi? Because the sign, the last sign you see is 45. The next sign you don't see until it's east of Potosi, where it says 65. So to me, my speed limit is supposed to be 45 because there's people coming out making left turns out of Potosi. That only makes logical safety sense. Right. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, to give you an accurate answer, typically the way it works, again, I would have to research a little bit more data and such also. Typically, how the way it works is when you see a 45-mile-an-hour zone, you're either maintaining that zone or entering that zone. So fast forward 2 miles to the Potosi, and it shows 65. You're now entering a 65-mile-an-hour zone. But once you pass the 45-mile-an-hour zone, you're either maintaining that or going into it. I think it brings up a good point. One speed going downhill is not the same as going uphill. Can it be? Absolutely. It's done all the time. Are there those shifts or changes? Absolutely. Terrain is a big part of it. But if it says, let's say you're going down, you enter a 65-mile-an-hour zone, down towards Cobham Pass, whatever. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a 65-mile-an-hour zone going up. A lot has to be, you know, there's private driveways, there's terrain uphill, downhill. There's just a lot that goes into it. I don't have the most accurate answer for you. I'm just going to give you the nuts and bolts version of it.
Will you be driving this way, going back? Are you going back to town, or are you going to go this direction?
I will end up going back to that.
Okay, so you'll see your last 45-mile-an-hour sign on the west side of the Potosi turn.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll go, what, how many yards? 50 yards before that 65 sign?
Oh, longer than that.
Yeah, closer to 100.
On the Potosi turn.
Okay.
And
so what would you want them to do? Put a 55-mile-an-hour sign?
No, just put another. Well,
the 45, so people know it's not 65.
Just another sign. Right.
And I'm not arguing with common sense. I'm saying this is my experience, because before they did all this, I came up and Sandy was with me, and we took pictures of every sign. I measured in between every sign. I did a whole display for NDOT saying, this is why the signs, because it was the same thing, 65 on one side, 45 on the other. I had a whole presentation, and I got 5 feet. They moved the 45-mile-an-hour sign 5 feet. That's what I gained.
Well,
so I'm not saying it doesn't make sense. And I'm still going to ask.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's what I was explaining before.
Well, originally, when this was being planned, NDOT wanted 55 mile an hour over this hill.
Right.
And Megan knows we fought with them for probably 2 years to get it down to 45. And we're happy that we have a 45, because they came up here and they spent time clocking vehicles, and they came back to our meeting and they said, well, the average speed is 60 miles an hour, so we're okay with 55. We kept raising hell. We kept getting, and finally we actually had a threat, and they finally went along with the 45. So even though it's 45 and they're going 55, we're still 10 miles an hour slower than what it used to be. It was 55 with just the two lane here. Now it's 45 with the divided highway. And we had to pull teeth to get that.
And one thing also to consider, and the only reason I know this is I don't live in the Derrick Canyon, but I actually live in the Derrick Canyon. You know, they have these little, the town hall meetings, the HOA type things. And it was just this conversation about signs, crosswalk signs, this light, that light. And maybe it brings a good point about think about the process and think about the cause and effect. Because they got where I live, they got what they were asking for, and the minute they put it up, the county or Henderson, whoever, they wanted to take it down. Because the more signs, the more mechanisms you have in place affects beautiful scenery that you live in. So the complaint was, once it went up, then they were like, hey, wait a minute. Now we have all these signs. For that one sign, there has to be another sign to address that sign. You know, there has to be a crosswalk. Now we have in Madera Canyon these flashing lights up at the roundabout. I don't know if you know where Madera Canyon is. The roundabout, they had these flashing lights. They didn't want the flashlights, but they got the flashlights because they finally said, okay, we'll do it. Now, the argument is, we don't want flashlights. Well, the money's spent. So just something to think about. How many signs did you want to length of a mile? Because it will affect the beauty of it. Trust me, I come up here all the time, just to hang out. It's beautiful. I am you guys a lot. But to answer your question, once you see the 45 miles on, you're maintaining that speed or entering that speed. Once you see the 65, you are now entering that 65 mile an hour.
So basically, from what you're telling me, what I see, it's 45 until I go east of Polish Street.
Until the next speed sign.
What happens is as people are going toward Vegas, leaving the community, they see the last 45 mile an hour sign, but then they stop seeing houses.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that since there's no houses, they're no longer in the community, and they can start speeding up.
And they're going downhill.
And then they're going fast through the county turnoff and everything. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
They no longer feel like they're in the community because there's no more houses. They don't realize it's still 45 miles an hour, and there's no signs down there to reinforce that it's 45 miles an hour.
So I will ask them what that speed is supposed to be. If it's 55, I don't think you want them to put a 55 sign there.
Well, there's only two speed limits up here. There's 45 and there's 65.
Rafael, by the time they hit that last 45, they're doing close to 60.
Oh, yeah. They're up my butt every morning. I'm out here at 5:30 in the morning, and I do the speed limit. That's who I am. I have GPS on my work truck. I
People were passing me up, right?
You're getting run over.
I do the same thing. I'm doing like 50, and that's why those illuminated radar lights.
That's all I have on my butt every day.
Now, has anyone seen the Ferrari Club up here?
Yep. Okay. They race through here over the weekend.
Okay. So I'm at the mailboxes, in my mail, and I see half a dozen Ferraris come up. They come up, go past the mailbox, make the turn, and then they go back down and do the slalom course. Just like in California, same crap. Now that it's gotten bigger and wider, now it's funner.
So. Well, it's something, is that, did they have like skills found on the Facebook page? Or is it just kind of weekend order?
I don't know.
I've noticed weekend.
But there were half a dozen Ferraris, and you know the engine sound is completely different than the car.
And that's something the police department could address. Could it be a hit and miss thing? Absolutely. Could it be something that where I mentioned it to my guys, send out an email, say, hey, this was a concern, Ferrari Club, let's handle business. To where now, they make a mental note of it, so when you come up here, they see the one Ferrari, those two. Now they know, oh yeah, this is a concern, we can address it, we'll get back to you, sir, so you can address it on my juggernaut Facebook page.
I think it's
the exotic car thing where they run out the cars and then they all
It's
frustrating. You guys have what's called a value investment. You have a personal investment in this area, and rightfully so. The people that you have problems with, for the most part, don't have that. that personal investment. So they don't, it doesn't register. You know, you can say, well, these certain things fall in their favor. You know, it's a state right. It goes through your account. Absolutely. You know, I understand the investment, trust me. But we have to write a fine line. Okay, what is it we can do? Grant a good one. Well, you know, if you change the speed limit, you know, down by a common pass, you can focus it all. I'm all for it. If I could push that button for you, I could. I would. But something to take into consideration when you make these decisions, or you create the thought process, is that the more real estate you're playing with, it leaves you harder to handle the what I mean by real estate is, if you want to wall away from trying to manage the speed and post speed, you're going to lose ground where you live. When you focus on where you live, you know, a half mile out on each way, the response will be better. So once you start expanding that real estate, the money will come, things will change. But then when you really want to change something close to home, like the line and the mailbox, little things like that, it comes to be harder to get because their mentality is, we've already answered two of the requests. We spent the money to get the 55 miles out of Arizona, you know, down by Cottonwood Pass. In all reality, you want those closer. Does that make sense? Just a thought process.
Press that off, Megan.
So I tell you that, and I get dirty looks, and he tells you that, and suddenly the request is paid. You're going to get my report from now on.
It's all on the delivery.
Rusty, the only way that people are going to go 45 is if Metro or Highway Patrol put a car with the emergency lights going, then they'll be 45. I'm just happy that they're doing 55 and not 65 or 70.
Mm-hmm. You definitely want to address things closer to home. I'll say it again. Once you expand that real estate, now you're expanding costs, you're expanding some more concerns. When in all reality, you want to focus strictly on the mountain top.
And you're thinning out your assets.
Yeah. Because it is easier, correct me if I'm wrong, it is easier to get things done closer to home than it is far away. Because then, when you're talking about a speed limit sign, down by Cottonwood Pass, you're incorporating more people to make decisions. And what happens is, I'll give you a perfect example. One of the rules I have in my station is we do not have meetings to set up other meetings. Nothing gets accomplished that way. So what happens is, in that scenario, you have this guy calling, email that, hey, we'll table it until next month, blah, 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 blah. In our reality, you want to focus on the mountaintop. You mean there's you have a lot of teeth. You have council, you have concerned citizens, there's that value investment, that personal investment. Once you start spreading out, the costs will come and you won't get as much as you want. Because they've already committed to that, and then human nature is what, right? Hey, we already gave them this. This is going to be a table until spring of 22. Does that make sense? So just something, I'm not an expert. I don't know all the answers. Okay.
And our last comment.
Okay. A 45-mile zone that you have up here is a godsend for the simple reason. This is the most dangerous part of Highway 40, Highway 160. It's around. And the main thing is because on both sides you have center dividers, you have a wire down here, concrete down here, which prevent the most major accident problem that's a head-on collision. I came from California. We came up, our highway, our volunteer company protected, was from Fresno up to Yosemite National Park. We had thousands of cars a day, buses, you name it, everything. We had nothing but head-on crashes. You folks are very lucky to have all the center dividers down here that prevent the head-on. So when you pull out of your house and you drive down, you have a little piece of concrete day by day that's between you and the other guy going 50 or 60 or 70 miles an hour, blow a tire, drunk driver, whatever, he's coming across, he's going to take you out head on. I'll guarantee we will have head on accidents up here because of the way the road is now built. And especially over here where you have a little teeny road or you have a special center divider, it looks pretty, but it's not going to stop a car, it's not going to stop a truck, and they're going to come across there and take someone else or family out head on. So if you people live up there, when you drive down there, be very careful. Be very careful. Watch cars coming the other way because that's going to be the most important thing you're going to have, your safety, if you get a chance to get out of the way. It's going to happen. And it looks beautiful up here, but it's not safe. This is the most dangerous section of this whole road, right on top of this hill.
So 45 or 35, you can have them doing 25, and they're still going to have head-on accidents. And that's just a fact of life. And there's nothing you're going to do about it now, because it's too late, you know.
Yep. But at least we have a divided highway, and what we didn't have before was basically a two-lane road.
What, there was nothing.
Yeah. Right, you know.
We were
people passing when they shouldn't have.
When they were designing this, and they told us they couldn't put these barriers in because they had to accommodate turning off to get onto Benedict or and that's why they couldn't put those concrete barriers in. But still, you're absolutely right. A car jumps over, they're going to hit you. But at least now it's just not a two-lane road. It's four lanes, and you got a little better chance than what we had before. But you're coming down to 45 or 55. It's a lot better than what it was, 70 on a two-lane road.
Yeah.
And Mark knows that. I mean, how many accidents you look? Our head-ons were sometimes once a month. Not here, but on both sides of that spring.
All right, moving on to item number 6 with planning and zoning. We don't have any. So item number 7, general business, we've already taken care of that. Item 8, comments by general public, more than what we've done?
No. Number 2 under general business.
Oh, I thought we did all that.
No.
Oh, the calendar. We need to, number 2, item 7, number 2, we need to review the calendar.
This is your opportunity to change the time of your meeting if you want. I like 6, but it's up to you guys. And also, a couple years ago, we went every other month. Some do quarterly, or we can do every month. That is up to you guys, but this is your opportunity to make that decision.
I'd make a motion that we set meetings on all of these dates monthly. We always have the opportunity to cancel the meeting if we don't have business to conduct. However, I believe the date of August the 10th is in error, and it should be August the 11th.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
So that's what we did last time. There's something on Janet just canceled.
Right. So, and I should have announced at the beginning. Cheryl is our new secretary. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for stepping up to do that. So, we'll do like we've done before, and I'll have Cheryl reach out to you as she's getting ready to make the agenda. And if there's no pressing items and you guys don't feel you want to meet, then we'll cancel for that month.
I like that idea.
All right.
Need a vote.
I make a motion to go with Rick's idea.
And with the correction.
Oh, with the corrected date. And 6 p.m.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but you got to get a vote.
Okay. Oh. All in favor?
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. And the bylaws, I emailed them to you. Nothing has changed from last time. They're just the basic, you know, mind manners, and this is the time you need. So if you do have any concerns and want to review it, let me know, and we'll work with the DA, but they're all standard. So.
I printed my own. Is the calendar on there as well in the email?
Yes. Yeah. But I emailed
it. Okay. Yeah. All right. I just didn't see that then.
Yeah. Yeah, because I sent the email, so yeah, it's on there.
Okay, perfect.
So yeah, I'll be handing that all over to Cheryl, and she will be a much better secretary than I am. So,
all right,
and that's it.
Perfect.
Item. Public comment.
Yep. Item 8 for general public comment.
Here's something I wanted to bring up. About 3 weeks ago, my beagle hound came back. He got caught in a jaw trap.
Again,
yeah, and this is the third dog that I've had in jaw traps. Now I know they went through and revised the laws that instead of 72 hours, they have to check them 48 hours, and then they moved the boundaries a little further away from residential and trails.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to suggest, or at least talk to Fish and Game, is why can't they just eliminate, you know, the Mountain Springs area, or
I don't know.
Trappers push.
I mean, what these guys are doing is they're thinking that these bobcats, and that's what they're after. And I've never seen a bobcat up here, but
I've never seen one.
They're thinking if we set the trap close to where the bobcat is looking for chickens or whatever. We had to put the dog down. It was so bad. His paw was just destroyed. And that's the second time he got in the trap, by the way.
Yeah, trapping is, well, I won't expand on my views on trapping.
But so maybe we could get Fish and Game up here next meeting or something and talk to
them. It would be Endow, and I
and another thing I want to bring up, and it really doesn't make any difference, but when we're going...
We have them up every other year.
When we're heading west, there's a sign for the bighorn sheep.
Mm-hmm.
way the hell down on the other side. I've never seen a bighorn sheep in the desert before. You know?
Well, I think not that it makes a difference. It says coming ahead. Pardon? It says like 2 miles or something?
No, no. They says bighorn sheep 1 mile, and if you go 1 mile, they're not even close to where they range.
Yeah.
But I don't know who decided.
Well, I have to say, as someone who doesn't live here, when I see sign like that, I don't think, oh, 1 mile, I don't have to worry about bighorn sheep anymore. I'm still aware, and I think that so if someone's aware.
We see them. I see them. I mean, I see the bighorn sheep, but they're a lot closer to the community than way the hell down there. Not that if someone sees a bighorn sheep, they're not going to. I mean, it's just a dumb place to put a sign. That's
right. So maybe put
moving the sign isn't going to make any difference. It's just a comment I maybe should have made.
But yeah, when I see that, I'm always hopeful to see them. So
the deer signs are right, and the elk signs right, and the horse sign is right. I like all those, but where they came up with this bighorn sheep?
I don't know.
Any other comments?
No.
All right. Item 9. Next meeting is March 11th.
Is that right? It should be March 10th.
March 10th?
10th. All right, I don't have glasses on. Item 10, adjournment.
I move for adjournment.
Motion, I second it.
All right.
Table further. Oh, I'll bet that's not going to go.